You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Coincidentally, joining me is a Vietnam veteran. His name
is... Who has a cage full of monkeys in his brain.
What's the best mental health advice you ever got before there was such a thing as mental health? What's the best mental health advice you ever got from a peer, another veteran, before any of this was even thought about?
You know, I don't recall ever getting any good advice from anybody that, so I may have, but I don't remember it, so it didn't, if I got it, it didn't sink in.
So nobody ever,
happens with me.
Nobody ever told you to keep the monkeys in the cage? Hey, Rogers, keep the monkeys in the cage?
Oh, not really.
Because that would have been PhD level shit, back in the day, right?
Well, I had a friend, who I was served with in the Marine Corps after I got back from Vietnam, who went on and spent quite a bit of time becoming kind of a mental health expert on PTSD before anybody knew anything about it. He kept trying to tell me I had it, and I was going to whip his ass because I didn't have shit, boy. There's nothing wrong with me. So the people were talking about it, but I wasn't hearing it.
Did you get a chance to listen to the interview with Ronnie Reyes?
Yes, I did.
First of all, thank you for introducing me to him. And when I said later to Ken that what an incredible story, Ken said to me, they're all through this room. So thank you very much. Some of the things he said yesterday is a glimpse into the world of a Gold Star, son or daughter that, we don't visit that often. And so thank you very much. At the end of the interview, when he says that his mother, his father's casket was open and there was a piece of glass, over, his upper torso, and his mom laid him on the glass because she knew it was the closest he'd ever be to his father. Talk about something that almost rips your heart out,
Yeah, that was quite an image, and very emotional image for me. I mean, I felt that, but there was some revelations in there. Think about, they think they're alone. I mean, it's just like the end of goddamn combat veteran, you think you're alone,
right?
And so,
Ken sent me a message yesterday. I think after you listened to it, and said, you telling him that he was part of the tribe, he didn't get that before,
right?
That these guys were nice to him, but he didn't really understand his tribal affiliation. You're in, man, whether you like it or not. You belong. You're a part of the Hotel Warrior. So just deal with it. Just deal with it. I wanted to have you on today. What do you do? How do you treat Memorial Day?
Not much. Sometimes if I'm home in Boise, I'll go out to the State Veterans Cemetery outside of Boise. They usually have a program there. They'll have some speakers and a flyover of warthogs from the local National Guard unit there. And last few years I've tried to go out there. It's just like so many people. When I first moved up there, you could go out there and get a seat and sit out there with the old folks, the old World War II veterans. But now there's just so many people, it's amazing to me how popular that thing has become. Sometimes I do, but I've never really, uh, to be honest with you, never really had much of a, it's never had much of an impact on me. It was always a good time to go on a vacation someplace when I was younger, so.
So what do you mean, it never had much of an impact on you?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a day we should be honoring all those guys I know that are dead.
Right.
That got killed in a war, or people that my parents had talked to me about, but it never really sunk into me like that.
Right. No, I'm curious because everybody has their own way in terms of the way they deal with it. And some people, as you said, it never really sunk in. And you know, some people try to avoid it. You know, they make sure they're doing other things and staying busy because a lot of stuff is on TV. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about it when Ron Reyes says, "Yeah, both these movies are going to be on TV here in the next week." That documentaries that he's appeared in. And
well, there's a guy named Bill Ryder who was with Charlie Company 19 at Quezon, who has a organization down in San Diego County called American Combat Veterans of War, and they work with guys in the county jail there. He's going to be on that Memorial Day program tonight or this weekend from Washington, D.C. with Gary Sinise and Joe Mantegna. So there's a lot of stuff on, and sometimes we watch that stuff, but, you know, I think about this shit that happened to me in Vietnam all the time, and I have for years. And so all those guys are with me I'm thinking about them all the time. So, I mean, it's not like I'm going to worry about it one day a year. It's like it's with, you know, that stuff is with me all the time. I mean, I wake up at 3:00 in the morning, I'm thinking about these guys. Somebody that I knew that got blown up. So I guess maybe I look at the whole thing different. That stuff's with me all the time. It's like, just part of who I am.
You know, that has been a sentiment that I've expressed. Like, I don't need a weekend to remind me of that which I can't forget. This is for everybody else. So I try not to change. Depending on where I am in my menstrual cycle, you know, if there's something that somebody wants me to be a part of or something, I certainly believe it's my duty now to make sure that the gospel gets preached for younger people as it was preached to me when I was young. And I'm a part of that now, as you are. But I don't need to go out of my way, you know, I don't feel I need to go out of my way because it is such a part of my life. Now, coincidentally enough, the 5th Marine Regiment Vietnam Memorial is going to be dedicated on Monday, so I will I'll go to that. It's going to be dedicated at Camp Pendleton. Those guys, again, I think I mentioned to you, but they raised $400,000 to put the name of every Vietnam veteran, every Vietnam Marine that fought under the colors of the 5th Marine Regiment on a wall in a memorial garden that the 5th Marine Regiment has developed. And these guys saw this memorial, and they saw that there was a stone tablets there for guys that had been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know how Vietnam veterans are. They're like, well, we can't have that shit. We got to get our names in there. So raised $400,000, which is to me is 50 years after the event.
Right.
And so to me, when you're looking for illustrations of Semper Fidelis, what the shit does that mean? That's what that means. It means, would you raise almost $500,000 50 years from now to put the names of your peers? Yeah, you don't need a weekend. Those guys, they don't need a weekend, okay? Because they live it every day. I'm with you. You were going to say something.
No, you said it. You said it really good, so.
All right.
I hate to admit that, but I will.
I didn't want to take up too much of your time this morning. I just wondered, how you intended to spend Memorial Day. So
well, this Memorial Day, I'm going to be in Texas getting ready to interview some people for this other film that we're working on. So hopefully I get some time to sit and I'll think about this stuff, I'm sure. But I had no special plans. So.
Got it. No, you know, to me, what makes this Memorial Day different, honestly, is that I will watch those. I will watch the videos. I'll find the documentaries that Ronnie Reyes was talking about. And watch them, because to me, it's kind of interesting. In the book Flags of Our Fathers, they talk about the meeting. Like, we amongst ourselves have our own way of dealing with losing people, right?
Right.
And but dealing with somebody's mom and somebody's kids, that's different. In the book Flags of Our Father, it talks about a meeting where Ira Hayes, John Bradley, Rene Gagnon, they met their squad leader, a guy named Mike Strank, who was killed after the flag was put up, and Harlan Block, and I can't remember a couple other of the names of the Marines. If you give me a second, I will. But they met their mothers. And these guys walk in and they see these women and they all lose it. They all start crying.
Right.
So it's like, you know how we, it's interesting. And so to me, that's what this Gold Star son, this Gold Star thing is. It's, you pull back the curtain on that, which, you know, we as warriors, it's tough to go. It's one thing to lose your comrades, but you can go out and kill the bad guys. And you could avenge their death, at least in your own mind. You can't bring them back, but you can make those son of a bitches pay. And but seeing a little kid, shit,
yeah,
shit. So yeah, that'll make this weekend different for me. So but I'll even temper that, because if I start to watch it and it's too tough, then I'll save it for another day. So just how I just
how don't tell anybody that though.
No,
don't tell them to shoot that man.
I don't. I try not to perpetuate the image of me being a pussy, but I will admit to having a menstrual cycle.
Well, you know, we're all, you know, if I need any proof, last weekend was enough to me that I'm not as tough as I wish I was. So.
Hey,
I want you to
tell everybody about just a couple thoughts on the passing of Ken Pipes, your skipper.
Well, you know, he was a really interesting guy, because he always came across as very self-deprecatory almost, and very humble about most things, but he was a hero, a bona fide hero. He was a man who served his country for over 50 years in various capacities, and who always had time to talk to his men and veterans, Vietnam veterans, and actually veterans of other wars, and he was compassionate. And so it was really difficult for me for him to not be here now, because I didn't, you know, I stayed away from all of those guys. I, you know, if I saw an officer coming around, I was gone, man. And I, you know, for years I lived my life that way. I didn't care about him. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to see him. But when I became associated with him, he came almost like my father, who passed away years ago. And, I'm going to miss him. I mean, he's not going to be there for me to talk about stuff. I mean, I went to his house after the service to see his wife and son and grandson, and out on the patio on the back porch, he had a little sign up there that said Semper Fi Place. That's always been there since I've known him, and we'd sit out there and drink coffee and sometimes argue about politics and sometimes reminisce about the war, but that sign was always up there. And that was the kind of person he was, that, you know, he was always faithful. I mean, think about that. I've not been that way. I haven't lived my life that way. I mean, I got a goal to aspire to now. So it was hard for me, very hard.
And let me, I'll end with this and I'll let you go. I mentioned this the other day, but this is the kind of guy Ken Pipes was. He sat down and composed a letter to his family that his son found, I guess in his office or whatever. And the line that I don't know how we get, if you could get a copy of the image that they showed at the memorial service of this, but the line to me that was absolutely overpowering was, none of us are sure what the future holds, but for me, heaven was being here with you.
Yeah, that's just pretty profound. So,
holy shit, man. That, I mean, when you leave your family with that, I mean, you're leading in death. You're reaching back and telling them that it's okay and how much they meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guy that the skipper of Bravo Company 126 was. And you know, since then, Ken, I've watched some of the talks. There's clips of his, some of the talks he gives. So you bring Ken Pipes out to talk, right?
Right.
Do you think he talks about himself?
No.
Not once does he use the pronoun I. He talks about his Marines, and a conscientious objector, Navy Corpsman, appears in just about every one of these talks he gives. Who he told, we don't have a job for you, but I do need stretcher bearers. And this guy was carrying a stretcher to a C-130, our incoming artillery and mortar fire. Three guys put the stretcher down. He was there, and he laid on top of a Marine that was wounded, and he was killed doing that.
And that's
the kind of stuff that he talked about. So,
anyway. Yeah, he was like that. He talked about other people and he gave those speeches to those Marines out there at Camp Pendleton were rousing sometimes. I was a witness to one he gave last September to the headquarters and services battalion of the 1st Marine Division. And at the time, he was on oxygen and was not really feeling well. And yeah, we screamed Bravo there, and we got to the end, and I got up and talked, and we introduced some case law Marines to the people there and to the younger Marines there. And then I asked him if he wanted to speak, and he took this oxygen off, and he got up, and he gave this speech talking to these young Marines about how they now carry the legacy of all of these battles, and Case on being one of them, and how good they were, and how great they were going to be. And I mean, he had these people so motivated, and he wasn't sucking on oxygen. He went total Marine on them. It was just amazing to watch him do it. I mean, amazing.
No, he's a great man. A great, unselfish leader. Even in death, if you can imagine giving that kind of gift to your family in death.
Right?
Unbelievable. All right, sir. Thank you very much for everything you do.
All right, nice talking to you, and behave yourself, all right?
I'll try. I'm an officer, okay? You don't have to worry about me, right?
Yeah, an officer and a gentleman. Exactly. I understand how that
By works. Act of Congress. The Lance Corporal?
I know.
Let me just tell you. The Lance Corporal, you see a Lance Corporal walk into a bar, and you know it. They feel comfortable there. It's where they're most at home. And you're like, all we need is a chair through the window, and it's all good.
That's it.
All right.
See you tomorrow. Bye. Bye.
There you have it, Ken Rogers. Unbelievable. Yeah. Ken Pipes wrote a letter to his family. One of the coolest things I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, Mac.
Duffy White, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, joins us now. I'm all right. I'm trying to fill airtime because you screwed me up yesterday. Actually, no. I was at the DMV for 6 hours standing in line.
Oh, my gosh.
6 hours.
I saw somebody explaining the military healthcare system. Somebody is, imagine if the DMV ran your healthcare. That's what the VA is like.
It was unbelievable. Okay, the shit show. Right, and then, like, this 85-year-old, 4'10" Asian woman who didn't speak complete English, she thought she could, like cut in front, and that wasn't going to be an issue after, like, 5.2 hours. I'm sorry, sweetheart, but you're about to go right through the plexiglass head first if you try that shit.
Oh, my gosh. Well, just at least they didn't have you sitting shaved head on a grinder holding up three-tenth bins and five-tenth poles.
I would have gladly been doing that, okay? At least there was something to do. At least you were moving. At least there was some 6 hours in line. All right, that's why I couldn't. And then I went to a school board meeting last night. I was home for an hour, then went to a three-hour school board meeting about school. Well, I spoke about at the end, that's about school safety, and urging the school, the elected officials of the school district to act, okay? Don't wait. Implement the 50% solution today, and I don't know that you can stop this. The best I think you'll be able to do is to mitigate it, to keep the number of people shot and killed to a small number. And even though you're trying to harden your schools, if you harden your schools and I can't get inside the school, I'll do it in the parking lot. The only thing that remedies this is somebody with a weapon. And they're resigned to that, I think. And I said, but what I really came down here to tell you is that if you kick this can down the road, if you don't do this quickly, and some incident befalls your school district, I can tell you from experience that the most, and you can comment on this stuff, the most unkind event that could ever happen to somebody in war isn't death. It is to be negligent or to not act and do your job, and then somebody else pays with it with their life. You cannot lift that burden from yourself. For the rest of your life, you will never sleep through the night, and you will see that forever. And so I urge you to act. I urge you to lead. If you need money, put your hand up and scream. And I urge you to protect our kids. So, yeah, that was my day. 6 hours of DMV and then 3 hours of school board. Motivating.
Oh, man.
But I'm curious. You know, is there a crueler burden in life than to fail in combat? For either your own, and I don't mean the enemy. I don't mean on a day when somebody gets killed, because that happens. I mean when you know, when you reflect on it, that you didn't give it your due diligence, or you didn't get off your dead ass and look at something, and that you should have done, and nobody lifts that burden from you. Your thoughts?
No, I think you're exactly right. It's and even when you think you've done all that you can to erase the operational risk, if you will, and Murphy's law bites you in the ass, and the enemy does something, you're always going to take that. What could I have done differently, better, smarter, and definitely how am I going to apply this to the next day or the next hour, to me, that's the true thing that you could never live with, is if you should have learned a lesson that you left lying there and you didn't. And I think that's kind of your message to the school board folks is, hey, what other examples do you need?
Right.
They're everywhere. Take action.
Yeah, and it was interesting because at the end the superintendent spoke and he said, we need to act. We have to lead. And it was pretty cool, actually. And he looked at me in the audience, and most everybody had left, and he said, thank you for coming down here tonight. And he said, but we can't be afraid of what people will say. We have to do the right thing. And so
I think your advice is, do what you can right now, even if you think it's low-hanging fruit. Start now, and, you know, the priority work, you're never done in the defense. You right. can always make improvements. But you got to start with the shallow skirmisher's trench. You know, you build that into doggone overhead cover with triple strand Constantine and all. I mean, really, that's the mindset. Right. Is
no, you evolve. You, know,
what can I?
You evolve it.
Yeah,
it's not a. It's
that's
it,
right.
You evolve that. You evolve the solution, and so you don't need to. And so, and because there's, they have a group that's studying it, right? And they were, and they spend a lot of time talking about, you know, securing the schools and so in my comment I said and I understand you have to secure the schools, but know this. If I can't get into your school, all we're gonna do is change the venue. I'll do it in the parking lot. So
yeah.
So if I wanna do this, I don't know that you can stop me. But you need to be able to keep it small and you need to end it.
Well, and I would go one step further, and you're very familiar with it. You probably had much smarter callers on it than me, but, you know, taking kind of the mindset of the human terrain mapping that we were doing the village censuses and the interviews and just tactical questioning and things like that is, you know, the law enforcement people have to have a pretty solid profile on what, you know, a prospective shooter looks like. And literally, you know, not, hey, Billy, how's it going? And walk on, but, you know, really, you know, start to be able to identify those guys. Cause I think it, you know, the violence is intersecting with the mental health crisis with just teens in general. And, you know, it's a complex, problem set, but you can't just look at the physical means of, security, because you're right.
But you know, Duff, I will differ with you in terms of this. In terms of, I said this. I didn't come down here to talk about the Second Amendment. I didn't come down here to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
I came down here to talk about what you can do. And so, and so then afterwards, I hung out and I was speaking with a couple of the board members. One of them said to me, do you know the amount of money that this country has spent on mental health in schools since Sandy Hook? I said, no. She said, it's enormous. It's enormous. And again, I think there's so many wrongs. We raise up, I was at a funeral last Saturday. And I was with Vietnam veterans, and we were talking after the funeral, and they didn't want to say this in front of me, but the gist of it was, kids today are pussies. They couldn't do what we did, because one of them was a faith-based, helped treat post-traumatic stress with faith-based approaches, right? You know, so, and that's certainly one way of dealing with it. A buddy of mine, Chris Bronze, he told me that. I asked him, I said, Bronze, cause I was struggling with anger issues. And I said, how do you deal with it? He's company commander in Ramadi in 2004 under Lieutenant Colonel Kennedy. I mean, Thunderdome, man. And he left with a trophy guy. And he said, you're not going to like it. So I don't want to tell you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're going to snap when I tell you. And I said, that's stupid. Why would you not tell me? And he said, okay. God, I'm like, you got to be shitting me. God, really, Bronze? He's like, I told you. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to say it. I said, well, come on, man. And so anyway, this guy does this stuff. And he said his experience talking to veterans that have fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, he said, you know, it was tantamount to the experience of fighting the Viet Cong around Da Nang, booby traps, ambushes, pot shots on occasion. He said where the Viet Cong became formidable was when the NVA infiltrated behind them and underneath them, and then you got your ass whacked. That's when the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
That's but the Viet Cong by themselves, they could be handled. The fight that the Marine Corps hasn't fought since 1968-69. is the fight against the NVA in Northern I Corps up there. That is incredible fighting when you read about it. And they said,
they said,
we don't know that, you know, this is their opinion, and over a couple of drinks at a VFW after the funeral, which they didn't really want to share with me initially, and then they did. And that was, yeah, you guys are pussies, man. You guys are pussies. And I say that to reinforce this point. When you raise a whole generation of kids, then the first question that they get asked whenever anything happens is, how did that make you feel? Then you, what you're telling them is their feelings are the most significant things in life. And I think you screw them up. What did Brother Ansel Miner say to you when he was whacking the shit out of you at your Baptist Academy? Was he asking you how, he might have been asking how you were feeling, Duffy. How you feeling, Duffy?
Like, hey, you know, adjust your attitude and behavior. There's more of this where that came from. You know, it was, you're right. And just anecdotally, you look at, you know, colleges, you know, safe spaces and things like that, that just, what in the world are we doing to our kids?
Right.
What are we teaching them?
And then we act like we have all these mental health issues. Well, no kidding. We don't know how to parent, right?
No.
We don't know how to parent anymore. We're afraid to let our kids experience the repercussions of what they do, because we go down and we intervene with teachers, and it's your fault. It's not my. If you ever screwed up at school, was there a discussion in the White household about whose fault it was?
No, none. And there was no question of, hey, coach, why aren't you playing my son? It's like, hey, Duffy, if you want to play, can't get better and beat out the guy in front of you. If not, shut up and keep trying as hard as you can. It's all you can do, you know.
And that's preparation. Preparation for life, right there.
Yeah.
And so,
it really is.
And so, I don't know, Duff. I think the mental health issues are so substantial in young people because they don't understand what no means, right? They have meltdowns when somebody says no. Right? I mean, if Kathleen wasn't saying no, she wasn't speaking. Hey, Mom, can we go to Root A&W and get root beer? No. Why would you ask that? As she smoked her Parliament. Why would you even ask me that? I'm sorry, I'll go outside.
Exactly. Get a drink from the water hose. You'll be all right.
Yeah, like, oh, bottled water, blah, 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 blah. Do you remember the bubblers we used to suck out of after, like, 87 kids, and God only knows what happened to them after school hours? you'd be sucking out.
And I really would like to ask, say, a World War II Korea Marine, what their opinion was of the Vietnam vets, you know, that next generation, to see if they had the same thing that these Vietnam vets conveyed to you about the current generation.
Let me tell you something that I found out, that Duffy, that really, you know, you have these kind of make it stop moments. One is, among Gold Star widows, if you're a widow because your husband came home with post-traumatic stress or TBI and committed suicide, you're not accepted as an equal. And I was like, what? Yeah, they don't like us to sit with them. They like us to stay away from them because our husbands weren't like their husband.
Yeah.
And I said, make it stop, man. And then the other thing was that when Vietnam veterans got home, And went to the shelter of the Legion, you know what they heard from World War II and Korean War veterans? What the fuck's wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
You can't beat their dumb little asses over there? What kind of shit soldiers and Marine are you? It's like, yeah, not going back there anymore. Not going back to the VFW of the Legion anymore. Yeah, and so Vietnam veterans, same thing. Like, make it stop, please. Make it stop.
Yeah.
So maybe it is. Maybe it's just the march of time, and we always think that they won't. But anyway, it's an interesting little perspective.
Well, Mac, and I appreciate your pushback on my comment about the mental health and all that. And you know, you're right. Do what you can in your lane, and there's other lines of operation that need to happen. You know, yeah. But I think my line of operation for all of this is, I don't know about the rest of the society, but thank God I think the Marine Corps still does it right.
No. But
I just remember General Kelly saying before, you know, like, yeah, they're interviewing us before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And he's like, are you worried, General? Hell no, they're Marines. Marines took, you know, Iwo Jima, you know, Chosin Reservoir fight, you know.
Yeah, these are the whatever. These are the sons and the grandsons of, right? That quote? I think that's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, you're much better quoter than I am.
I remembered it because it's an awesome quote.
It is, but that was my experience with the Marines. Now, obviously, I've been out for 5 years, so. Hey, we were winning when I was still in, so I don't know what's happened now. But, you know, there's still, to me, that always gives hope for whatever generation is. As long as the Marine Corps can hold the line and produce Marines to do Marine things, our country will be all right.
No, but it's for the Marine Corps, it's this constant cultural fight, right? That you have, and we've even modified boot camp now, right? There's 2 weeks added at the end to kind of try to acclimatize these guys from and girls from recruits to Marines, and so we're tweaking that, and that's an adjustment with culture. I mean, the same thing with the Marines United stuff. What do you mean I can't post naked pictures of girls? I mean, I did that in high school. I did it in middle school. I've had my cell phone since I was 10. You know, what do you mean I can't do that? Yeah, you can't do that. There's a law against it.
I mean, they used to have foldouts in Leatherneck magazine, right?
Did they?
In the 60s.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, we used to have lingerie shows at the staff club when I was in the Marine Corps. Like, why are there so, Second Lieutenant McNamara, why are there so many cars in that parking lot? On a Friday. Oh, Friday? they serve catfish. And there's a lingerie show. A lingerie show? Yeah, don't ask about it. That's what they do there. Yeah, but you're right.
Yep.
You're right. You're right. So, the march of time.
I mean, it's, yeah.
The reason I called you was I wanted to ask, how do you spend Memorial Day?
Actually, right now, I'm a member of the Middle Tennessee chapter of the Military Officers Association of America, MOA. And I was asked again to lay the Marine wreath at the memorial there at the local Veterans Cemetery here. Oh. So, you know, solemn, dignified ceremony. The Navy recruiting command here always provides an honor guard, squared away sailors, and you know, so we get vets from each one of the services to place, you know, the wreaths and make, you know, brief remarks and 21 gun salute taps. And then, you know, literally, you know, the last couple times we've, you know, volunteered the Flags Across America to put flags up and things like that. So it, you know, really to me, it's, you know, I don't like when people are happy memorial. There shouldn't be anything happy about it. It should be thankfully there is a Memorial Day. So I don't know the right greeting to.
I don't think there is one.
Or suggest another
Have a good weekend. I said that about an hour ago. If you know anybody that says happy Memorial Day, slap them across the face. Okay, it's not the appropriate greeting. And the same thing with this Labor Day, Memorial Day, I can never get them straight. If you're thinking that, don't say that, because you might be standing next to somebody that will look at you and say, oh, really? Good for you, because I could never forget the difference.
Yeah. Choke yourself, numbnuts.
Yeah, go ahead. Choke yourself. Now, you hear that stuff, but no, everybody does it different. You know, some people,
yeah.
In fact, I just had a guy from Vietnam, Ken Rogers. He said something that I've said before. He said, look, I don't need a weekend to remind me. How could I ever, I remember every day. So I would, I mean, the other thing is, this is for the nation. It's not everybody's service to the nation we honor this weekend. It is those that have given their lives for this experiment in democracy. I interviewed a guy yesterday. You should listen to it. His name's Ronnie Rays. He's a Gold Star son. And the interview will blow you away. So add it to your list, Duff, because he talks, his mom and dad weren't married when he went to Vietnam in 1967 with Delta Company 19. He was killed at Khe Sanh. And towards the end of the interview, Duff, you talk about getting your heart ripped out of your chest. He said, at my dad's funeral, there was glass over the open portion of the casket. And I was 4 months old, and my mom laid me on the glass.
Because,
she knew that would be the closest I was ever to my dad. Because he never held me. Yeah, you hear that. And he went to Vietnam with a group of Gold Star kids and met North Vietnamese Gold Star kids. And went to where his dad was killed in Vietnam. And they all talked about how powerful it was, places they had to go, had to see. And so it's a very cool interview. I met him at a funeral for the company commander of Bravo Company 126 at Khe Sanh last Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great interview, though. And so to me, a little bit different looking at their perspective, but you don't need to remind. I just wondered. I think we do have an obligation to be involved, and I'd be curious about your thoughts. For guys who aren't members of the Legion, the VFW, Marine Corps League, I think that's our responsibility to be those guys now. If that's where you're at, then you've got a responsibility to help educate, to preach the gospel of service to the nation. And we got to be those guys. And so regardless of your own feelings about it, join, participate, and spread the gospel of what makes this country great and the contributions that veterans make. And that, as I say, this country didn't get to be the way it is because nobody gave a shit about it. And the life dream of all those guys in those national cemeteries wasn't to be in that son of a bitch when they were 20 with a piece of marble sticking out of their forehead. They had dreams, and so that's our legacy, and what we owe is just to serve a little bit in our communities. But
So service above self. Put your self, personal self interest, selfishness, maybe not that harsh, but think of others and think about, keep drilling down until you're like, what is the reason we are still the greatest nation on earth, and Memorial Day should matter to you, and you should at least give a moment of silence if nothing else.
But
be appreciative of what you got.
I think at some point, if you're not a military family and don't do this on a regular basis, at some point, you need to rub the snouts of your kids and your grandkids in it, and you need to make them a little bit uncomfortable. By taking them someplace, showing them something, so that they understand that it's not just a race always to get the next version of the iPhone, right? That there's a little bit more to this country. And if we as parents don't teach that, then guess what? They're not learning it. And they're not going to be
well, exactly.
Good people.
To me, that's how you have situations like the NFL and things like that, where, hey, I understand your personal freedoms and all that, but tell me, the respect you should show for your country's national anthem shouldn't override that for 2 minutes, when you're in the public eye. And then You got the rest of the minutes of your whole week to work on whatever social justice things you rightfully needs to be fixed in our country. You know,
but come on, you had to be excited yesterday when they're thinking about making it a 15-yard penalty.
Ah, I missed that.
Yeah, I read that and I said, look, what did you pay the $89 million for in this social justice fund that you created if that wasn't an attempt to tell your players that, hey, look, we want to be active in these causes, but we have to get our business together because this dominates the news of the NFL. You have the president of the United States killing us, and we're losing viewership of it. So we will be happy to further any cause, but we believe that we detract from our business. We have a significant portion of our fan base that doesn't like it. And in no other profession are you allowed to walk into work and start espousing your political beliefs without being fired. So let's get our act together, boys. We can have a huge impact in terms of social justice causes that you believe in, and we're happy to help with that. But we got to police ourselves. We got to police our act on the field. If you're not comfortable standing for it, then don't come out for it. Everybody will know.
That's right.
And they can ask you at a press conference, and you can wax eloquent. But when we're putting our product out there, when it's showtime, that's not part of the show we put on. It's part of your personal beliefs, not what we do as a business. So do it on your personal time, not on our business time. And I think that's reasonable. You know, I think it's reasonable. But they've got themselves in a position, Duffy, where they're being held hostage by what? About 10 players? That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope there's a judge somewhere that'll throw out these frivolous suits from Kaepernick and all those other folks. And, you know, the NFL Players Association should be ashamed of themselves for backing any of that kind of crap. That's just my opinion. Of course, I'll never be an NBA, you know, NFL player. But,
well, no. Look, I agree. Go ahead and prove collusion. What you're going to hear from people is what? We looked at him as a quarterback. We view him as a starting quarterback. We know he's had issues, right? He's also had success. But at the end of the day, when we thought about his upside and then the downside, what it would mean to the narrative of our team, what it would mean to our locker room, and then also what it would mean to our season ticket sales and our news about the team, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. I didn't need to pick up a phone and call any other owner to make a decision for my business that my revenue is going to suffer and he's not that good, right? He's not that good.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, they're in business. It's a business decision.
Right. No, it is. And then Eric Reed has found out the same thing. It's like, look, you're an above average, or maybe you're above average safety in the NFL, but there's 15 of those guys on the market right now. And with you, when you walk in here, you know what headlines the Nashville Tennesseans are going to have? It's not going to be our crazy offensive lineman guzzling beer and throwing catfish around at the Predator game and how great and looking forward to OTAs and everything the NFL's doing. It's going to be your protest, and I'm not having that impact on my season ticket sales. I'm not taking that revenue hit. You're not that good. Damn it. So, I don't know. So you want to be a social activist and get ready for it, and, you know, so... Anyway, it'll be interesting. All right. I just want to see what you were doing for Memorial Day. A lot of, you know, there's some people just, you know, they shut the TV off and don't go near it because of all the different things that are on TV. And so I just wondered how you did it.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, that's a great question. I mean, and everybody's got to do it a little different. And I, you know, just thinking what you were saying about the Gold Star son, you know, my wife's uncle was Army machine gunner, killed in action in Vietnam, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Hearts, you know. And we were at the 40th anniversary of his death, and it was his company commander was there, and first time a bunch of his, you know, platoon and company mates had seen each other since then.
Really?
It was really emotional, but that impacted that whole family, you know, the Hannigan family from Lockport, New York, for, you know, it's still impacting them.
Right.
You know, 50 years later. It's just, it's a deep, deep price that these families pay. And, you know, if you can't give, you know, a little bit of yourself and self-interest to that, then, you know, please move to whatever country is better than America.
Please follow me into a dark alley at about 2 in the morning. Because I got something.
Exactly.
I got something for you. You know, it's interesting. Listen to Ronnie Reyes yesterday. His dad joined the Marine Corps at the age of 17, dropped out of high school, and you know, and he winds up in Vietnam at the age of 18. And you know, he said, "I didn't sign up for this, right? I've never known my dad." And then, but you know, Duffy, one of the really cool things that he said is, he said, "I've been accepted by." Yesterday he was talking. "I've been accepted by. I've gone to these reunions and they've accepted me." And I said, "Stop saying that, man. Accepted you? You're part of the tribe, man. You don't know that. What is everybody's reaction when you get introduced? This is Ronnie Reyes' kid." He said, "Oh, man." They go crazy. Because you're in. This is like the Hotel California, the Hotel Warrior. You're in, man. You are never getting out. You belong to us. And he didn't know that. And he said, I'm only learning that." I'm like, "Too bad, man. Too bad for you. We own you." And, so anyway. All right. I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man today. Have a good one, Duff. Thanks
all right,
for visiting. Yeah.
Hey, great talking to you, my friend.
All right. See you.
Right, bye.
Duffy White. Memorial Day. Duffy lives outside of Nashville, Tennessee. He's an American. He drives a Buick. Not making it up one bit. He drives a Buick. All right. We're going to take a break. And more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
That's Vietnam veteran music right there. That's how they do it. Joining me is Ronnie Reyes. So I'm looking for you on Facebook, Ronnie, and you know how many Ronnie Reyeses there are in the United States?
There's a lot.
There's a lot, man. What are you, like, in the witness protection program? What the hell?
It's funny. Once you find me, I'm everywhere.
Anyway, Ron was with us yesterday. I was talking about a little bit ago. And just kind of moving the kaleidoscope around today. What do you do on Memorial Day, Ron?
I don't have a clear answer for that. It's changed, you know. Sometimes it's the barbecue. I don't know. I spent a moment of reflection, but I am happy to be an American. I am happy and proud that we can do what we do, and I can take that day. And this year, I'm going to spend it with my son, and we're going to just hang out. Day before, we're going to watch some races on TV and just bathe in the fact that we're lucky to be able to do this and to be able to take a moment. And I take my time to reflect.
Well, let me just tell you, I think you'll understand this. This is not, this day is for the rest of the country, right? Does anybody need to explain to you what Memorial Day is about?
Nah, man, I live this every day.
Exactly.
And I say I don't, but I do. I mean, there's a part of it. And real quick, I want to. Duffy said something, and he's talking about the Hannigan family from Port, New York, and the deep price these families pay. He's absolutely right. That one event affects the entire family for life.
Duffy's a good man. He likes pro wrestling too. And that's things that, you know, I just got an email. Mac, I'm sitting here and I'm laughing. I shouldn't be, but I am. Who the fuck would say Happy Memorial Day? Seriously, think about that. That is
right.
Really somebody who's never given it any thought and doesn't know what to say. It's the same kind of person that walks up to you at a funeral that says, time heals all wounds. And you look at him and say, get out of my face, jackass. Because they don't know what they're talking about. They're just moving their mouth. Happy Memorial Day. It kills me. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that phrase that you were talking about. Memorial Day, Labor Day, I can never tell them apart.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Right. I'm with you. If you have that in your head, don't say it. Look
right.
at a calendar.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true, though. It's true.
It is true. I mean, we're the price that has been paid, most people will never know. And you know, and that's not a bad thing. I'm glad that most people will never know. But, you know, you got to have some time and thought and respect for those of us that do know and what we've paid. And, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't serve side by side. I will tell you, I did try to sign up for the Marines during the first Gulf War. My mom and grandmother said, no way.
What? What?
Yeah, I was going to jump in, and my grandmother and my mom are like, you know what? We've suffered enough, and
that's a little
and
different.
You know,
I was going to say, what would Big Ronnie Ray say? He didn't have any of that. He was 17, baller.
Right.
He was leaving.
Right.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. I got to go.
Right. I'm sure he would have just drove me. made that happen. So
No, you're right. I mean, and when they say we paid enough, that's a no shitter at that point, right?
Yeah. How can you fight a Gold Star mother and a Gold Star wife, essentially? How do you? I didn't know what to say at that point. I get it. I got it.
Yeah.
You said something yesterday, and I just want to say because it carried over, and I actually even posted it on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
You know, I kept saying that. You know, I've been accepted. I've always been taken in as one of your own. And yesterday you made it very clear that I'm not one of your own. I am part of this. I am this.
Ken Rogers emailed me about that. So yesterday, I spent 6 hours in line at the DMV yesterday.
No, that's good. Good times.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So at some point, he listened to the interview, the podcast, and he sent me a message that said, he said, Ronnie didn't know that he was part of the tribe.
Right? I didn't. I really, you know, remember I tell you I'm fine with everything, I don't need anything else, and then something else happens? That was one of those moments. I'm like, what?
I never need to go. You know, I've been there now. I've done it all. I don't need to go there anymore. I'm like, dude, quit trying to close the door. Quit trying to close the door on this poltergeist, man. It ain't happening.
Yeah, no, it's part of it, and, you know, what you're doing here is amazing.
No, but you know what? And the cool part of this, Ronnie, is that. Yeah, and I'll read you an email here. I'll read you a couple of emails from people that listened to things you said yesterday. But by us sharing, right? So
right.
By us sitting around smoking the peyote and, you know, talking shit, we all learn from each other. You know what I mean? And one of the things we realize is that we're all going through it. And this doesn't need to be a disabling event in your life. It can be a springboard. I mean, look at something being a Gold Star child. Look what you've done with that. You know? I mean, honestly.
Well, thanks.
No, but I mean, you're helping. First of all, it's dealing with your own shit first. And then all of a sudden,
right.
As soon as you help one person, the light begins to flicker and then begins to glow. And you have this aha moment and saying, I just eased that person's pain, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then you have a new mission, right?
Of course. Okay. It's funny. I say that in this film that's giving me a broadcast tonight. I say when I started this, it was about one name on the wall. And now it's about lots of names on the wall because I know they're kids. And now it's a greater mission than that, and it's outside of that. And it's all veterans and across the ocean as well, so... That helps me.
No, right? It's part of the healing process. And that I can't do anything about what's in the past, but I can do something about the future and about easing other people's pain. And in that way, you know, I say this. I have my oldest sister lost her two sons were murdered. In a domestic violence incident by her husband. They were 4 and 6 years old. And one of the things I say when I go speak, and it, the things that I've said to myself about it, and I go and I'll talk to anybody who ever wants me to speak about domestic violence, I'll go and I'll talk about it. And what I say is, the day of the funeral, I resolved that I was done crying, and that for the rest of my life, whenever somebody would listen, I would tell their story. And in that way, their story would have a positive impact on others. And I know it has. I know their story has saved, I would tell you, close to a dozen kids, only because I've received a call or an email from somebody telling me, you don't know me, but I heard your story, and I did these things because of the story that I heard. And so there's nothing you can do about your own pain. Things happen in life.
Wow.
But right. you can choose to do good things with it, and you've certainly done that. And so I think it's
well,
cool.
Thanks. I had this discussion with a few people yesterday, and I just flat out said, I mean, look, I'm dealt the cards I was dealt. What am I going to do with it? I could sit here and cry about it, which I do. I mean, of course, we all do have our moments. Or
I don't.
I could turn it around, and I can do something about it. And so I'd rather, you know, take a positive note and do whatever I can.
But how long does that journey take, right? You're talking about years, right? To get
well,
to that
apparently
point.
For me, 50 years.
Right, no, but you're not the only one. So there's no timeline associated with it. You know, it's you get to certain places, you know, when you get to them. And did you also tell them, and guess what? I'm like a plank holder in this tribe I didn't even know about, man. I'm
well,
like,
I did say that.
I'm like in. With a bunch of crazy people. I'm not sure if it's a good deal or not, but I'm in.
Well, and it's a way, I don't know, you know, it's a way that only we can understand and only we can relate.
It's home, man. It's home.
I mean, it's just, it's what we are.
Right.
See, I've even changed all my adjectives, man.
There you go.
My pronouns.
As you should. That's what you, look, if you used the wrong pronouns, we would be so far up your ass. You know what? What you don't want to be part of us? Oh, now you're gonna pay. I'll read you an email I got.
Okay, thank you,
Mac. I hope the district meeting went well. I went to a school board meeting last night. Awesome show today, especially Ronnie's interview. It started awesome, then became one of the most meaningful stories I've ever heard. A true look behind the curtain of brothers we have lost, loved ones. I hope all is well with you. It must be tough being a parent these days. My days are numbered before I joined your ranks. Awesome job for being a catalyst in your district, blah, 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 blah. Hold on, let me read you one more that I got here a few minutes ago. Hold on. This is from one of my former Marines. He's a smart guy, too, in the computer business or something that has to do with computers. Hey, Mac, on a serious note, that interview with Ronnie Rage yesterday was great. His story was very motivational. Sorry, me, one else. Sorry someone else has it worse than we do. You need to remind everyone to get off their asses and to try to make a difference in the world. The thing the interview reinforced for me was that if you seek, sometimes things will find their way to you. I loved hearing him share everything he went through. That Mexico trip took the cake. We can't forget our brothers and sisters that we lost, but it's really important to realize that they are also leaving loved ones behind that deserve to have a connection to the tribe.
Wow, thanks. I mean, I rarely get feedback. I don't really, you know, I just do my thing and go. It's my story, you know, what do you do? But I appreciate hearing that, and, you know, I'm glad it struck a chord of some sort.
No, but like I said, I mean, these are all tribal members, man.
Yeah.
And they feel the connection to you like they would feel the connection to one of their fellow Marines as kids. Like, you know, you would meet that kid, and the first thing words out of your mouth would be, come here, motherfucker. Boom, and you'd grab that kid. You're like, hey, let me tell you about your old man. What an ass bag he was. First of all, man, he was nasty. He stunk. Right? And so they would, there's just immediate, intense connection. And that's a cool part of being part of the tribe. So anyway, yeah. So I'll send you your tribal card, and that way you can.
Okay.
That way, you,
perfect.
It's accepted in any strip club in the world. Just so you know, you. Like.
And I'll take it. I'll take it.
It won't get you. It won't get you shit at Costco or anything else. But at the right venues, they'll be like, "Oh, come on in, bro. Come in. You're over there." Yeah, anyway, all right, man. First of all. I want to tell this. I was going to send you an email, but I'll just tell you. Anytime you have something going on, let me know so that we can let other people know and blow it up. So whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved with, that you want to publicize, if you're screening, you were talking, sent me an email about screening a movie or whatever. Whatever you're doing, make sure you let me know so we can blow it up and get it out there because I think. And this is very emotional for us. Like I told you yesterday, we're okay with each other. But when we have to deal with the sons of, the wife of, that's a little bit more uncomfortable for us because, it takes us to a different place. And so I think, but let me tell you, it's no place that we won't go because we will go anywhere for our brothers and sisters. So,
I'll leave you with this is that, if you know a Gold Star family, if there's somebody that was affected that you know, reach out because we want to hear from you. We want to talk to the men that were with our fathers, or in this case, mothers now. So, and it's hard at first, but it's healing for both sides.
All right.
Well, thanks. I appreciate. Thanks for having me on, and I'll keep in touch.
Don't say that. I'll keep in touch, all right?
Yeah, you will, man. I heard from Ken Rogers last night via email. I heard from you this morning.
Ownership has its privileges, okay? You're not escaping us. All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks, Ronnie.
All right, thanks. All right, bye.
Ronnie Reyes here on Allmarine Radio. Yeah, Ken Rogers sends me an email. No, he sent me a message. I'll read you the message. And so... Ken's cool as in terms of he's a storyteller like I am. I don't tell stories. Ken tells stories. I have people on, and they tell their own stories. So yesterday, Ken listened to the interview because he's the one that set it in motion. And I can't believe how this happens to me sometimes. Oh, here's Ken Rogers. So this is yesterday at 2:02 p.m. He sends me this. Good work with Reyes. I don't think he realized until you pointed it out that he was in the tribe. My response: he didn't. Yeah, he thought we accepted him. Like, no, dude, you don't understand. We own you. You're a member. What? Yeah, exactly. You can't get away from us. You're in. Which is cool. Because, again, the tribe is a big event. Right? I had that conversation with my daughter. One day she looked at me and she said, "Am I in a tribe?" I said, "Are you my daughter?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Is your brother a Marine?" "Yeah." "Is your other brother a Marine?" "Yeah." "You're in the tribe." She was like, "Yes." She said, "I wanted to be in the tribe. I wanted to be in the tribe." I said, "The second you were born, you were in the tribe, okay?" She's like, "Yeah." She said, "I like being in the tribe." I said, "It's a cool tribe, man." She said, "It is." I said, "Why do you think it's cool?" She said, "Because Marines are crazy." She said, "Marines are crazy." I said, "What does that mean? We're not crazy." She says, "Yes, you are. That's why you like it, too." I said, "You know what? That is right. You want to know why? Because Marines are crazy." Like I said, and it starts from, okay, you can go to the smart guy service, right, and fly airplanes. You can join the Navy and see the world, right? They're smart guys too. You could join the Army and be all you could be, or you could join those people that scream and yell and think they're tough. Okay, I want to be with those people. That breeds craziness. So, all right, we'll take a break. I want to talk about the NFL for a minute. The NFL, they can't get out of their own stupid way. It's amazing. It's honestly amazing. They can't get out of their own way. And they need to hire me to broker a deal and so that they can excel in both areas with what they do on the field that's designed to bring people together and not to just be another venue where we continue this shit show that goes on a daily basis in Washington, D.C. When we go to athletics, we want to escape that. So do your players not understand that? Right? So anyway, I want to talk about that, and then I want to play some audio from Ronnie Reyes, one of the movies that he's talking about. One of them is going to be on tonight, so I got to find out which one's going to be on. And then I want to talk. I got to finish up my school board story. Yeah, big day yesterday. I was like out of my mind. I never sleep through the night. I slept for like 6 straight hours last night. I woke up. I looked at the clock. It was like 5:15. I was like, What just happened? Yeah. How crazy is that? Sleeping through the night. Exactly. All right. We'll continue right after this. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.